Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man has threatened to light a homeowner's car on fire with a Molotov cocktail, said police in Cape Coral. A man was arrested over the weekend. Police said that he pulled out again with the swords. He pulled out a sword. Okay, stop, stop, stop. Full stop. Is that a thing in Florida? Every month I have 2 to 3 stories. They're brand new, different from each other, different parts of Florida, where someone has a sword or a machete. Floridians, what is up? Do you all just like have swords? Is that a thing? What in the world? So this guy had a sword and a Molotov cocktail, and he wanted to make a point during an argument with a Cape Coral resident. Cape Coral police said that they got reports of a disturbance at the victim's home. They met with the homeowner, a 36-year-old man. He showed up in a driveway holding a glass bottle with a cloth wrapped around the top. He threatened to throw it, which he claimed was a Molotov cocktail, at one of the vehicles in the driveway and light it on fire. He also had a sword, and he used the sword to tap on the windshield of a vehicle during the exchange. It was all captured on video by Ring doorbell, the camera. And the police located the guy. They asked him. He said, no, I went to go ask about the disrespect to a family member. And then he was arrested, taken to Lee County Jail, charged with violating the law that they have about manufacturing firebombs. Okay, there you go. But the sword, though. And they, was it actually a Molotov cocktail? They never really said. They never really confirmed that it was. But, you know. Let's see. This Florida man. Yeah, let's go ahead and do this. So, apparently, I don't think this guy was supposed to be gator hunting. And he was. And it was a company that showed the that this guy and his friends, they went down to hunt some gators. And but the guy's wife apparently did not know. And there's videos, but you can't, there's a lot of cussing in them. But the guy apparently was, his wife didn't know that they were all having a little boys trip and they were all drinking and hunting gators. And then a gator bit his hand. So he's probably going to have to come up with a story as to how to tell his wife. It was done by Salty Adventures, and this Isaiah Triolo and his friends, they were hunting gators, and then he got his hand bit, and apparently he told his wife he was worried more about his wife finding out, and he had said in the video, don't wake Katie up, whatever you guys do. He didn't bite that hard, like trying to hide it, because he didn't want his wife to know he was out drinking and gator hunting. Why, she probably would want to come. If you're looking for a convenient, affordable way to access medications and treatments you can trust, All Family Pharmacy has you covered. Whether it's the flu or parasites, cancer support, or general well-being, All Family Pharmacy's online service makes getting the medications you need hassle-free. With All Family, it's simple. You can choose the individual medications that best suit your needs or opt for one of their comprehensive treatment packages designed to give you everything that you need in one convenient order. And every order comes with a doctor's prescription included. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or any other effective medications, they have it all. And you can get fast shipping with most orders shipping in 2 to 3 business days. Medications start as low as $3 per capsule, making it really easy to take charge of your health without breaking the bank. No insurance needed. You can skip the paperwork and get the treatments you need directly. Stock up with their emergency preparedness bundles and access over 200 medications online anytime. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and use code Dana10 for 10% off of your entire order. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of the second hour here. And it's Thursday. We're almost done through the week. It's the week before Christmas. You guys are like, wait, what? Yeah, I know. It's going by fast, isn't it? Like, how is it already December 12th? This is just like way too fast. Way too fast. All right. So a number of stuff, number of things we've been covering. And by the way, you can also look follow us if you're not, you know, listening terrestrially, channel 347 DirecTV, and we're also over at Rumble, where the chat happens, and X and YouTube and less so, all that good stuff. So the president rang the bell this morning, Wall Street. He's named Time's Man of the Year, Time Magazine's Man of the Year. He's invited to ring the bell at New York Stock Exchange. He's only the second president to ever do so.
Yeah, Reagan was the other one.
Mm-hmm. Notice how they're all Republicans that get to.
That's weird.
Interesting that, isn't it? Only the Republicans, probably because they understand the economy. He's the first since Reagan to ring the opening bell. And the crowd was yelling at his family with him. He was flanked by the covers. It's a nice cover. The perspective is a little interesting, but it's a nice cover. I mean, it's like at a downward kind of angle, and I'm curious as to how he was sitting or what he was sitting on. But they, what do you think the cover says? Is the cover backing a compliment, do you think? Because it's, when you consider the first one that they put him on, where it was just the, like an emoji of his head, and it looked like it was melting. Cartoon. That wasn't very flattering. This is a lot more sober. This is like the magazine cover that seems like final acceptance of the inevitable, right? That's what I get out of it. It's not bad. Do you think? I don't think that they make him look old. They have him like a cold filter on him because he is. They took some of the hue out of his face and his hair. His hair is way more like is way brighter than that. But it seems like a their cover seems like a. Like they're like accepting the inevitable, the inevitableness of all of this.
Like they can't deny the last year.
Right. So they're like, okay, here it is. What's funny, when Joe Biden was elected, he said that they were going to return to normality. There's the cover Juan's showing you right there. It's not a bad cover. It's a weird perspective, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say that.
But what is that? I'm just I don't want to unpack it too much, but I do think it's interesting. It's almost like you're peering up at him, right? That's the perspective of the photographer. You're peering up at him from a lower position, but he's not like lording it over you. It's very odd. I almost don't know what to make of it. I don't think it's, Steve, what do you think? Do you think it's like a backhanded compliment? I'm going to get one more opinion on this. It's weird. I don't know how to read it.
I mean, if you're reflecting from the same publication that had that cover years ago of that like really dystopian melting face, like that's obviously a twist, but I think they kind of had to admit that that's the case. I mean, there was a lot of people up for it that they could have picked on the right or on the left, excuse me, and they didn't.
True. Yeah, they could have. I mean, can you imagine if they tried picking Kamala? That would have been a joke. But I also think that they realize that he sells magazine covers, I think. And so putting him on that, I don't think that it is a smear. And the reason I'm bringing this up is a couple of you emailed me this morning asking if I thought that it was an insulting, if I thought it was an insulting cover. And I don't think that it is an insulting cover. I just think that it's, I don't know, it's very weird, right?
I think it's just the inevitable. They realize what happened in the past year. They can't ignore it. There is no ignoring it. You can't rewrite what happened this past year. And that, like we were talking about, that perspective of the photographer, you are kind of, as Time Magazine or even as the public, you kind of look up to a guy that has gone through what Trump has gone through over these past 8 years. And I think it's, I don't look at it as a backhanded compliment or, you know what I mean? Anything.
The only reason I think that it's, I don't mean to like, I'm sorry if I'm boring you guys because I'm obsessing over it. But what the reason I bring it up is because it's so desaturated. Right. So is the desaturation, because, and I'm not saying this is to be mean. He's oranger than this guy. Come on. The dude has like super Scottish red hair. It's like, except it's not really blonde. It's definitely it's got red tint in it. And he's one of those people that when their hair, he doesn't really gray, it turns blonde. I had a grandmother who was as Irish as the day is long. That's where it comes from. And she had like, she had hair like Ronald McDonald. And she didn't go gray. It went blonde. It was real weird. He's got like the same thing. So it's just super desaturated. He doesn't look defeated. He looks reflective. And I don't know, there's a lot to get into with this cover. And why I'm focusing on it so much is I'm trying to read the tea leaves as to what his presidential term, the start of it's going to be like. And every politics has been upended since 2014, really. It really started getting upended in 2014, 2015, and then when he won and no one expected him to win. And then in 2020, when it was so close, no one knows what to expect. Every term has the only thing that's been predictable has been Biden. And even then, how bad he was not as predictable. We all knew he was going to be bad, but we didn't know it was going to be as bad as, you know, I mean, my gosh, the joblessness, the inflation, the instability, the lack of, you know, I mean, any kind of focus on any kind of domestic issue, particularly manufacturing, all of that stuff. But this is, it almost seems like it's a relief because the left, I think, is relieved because they don't have to be yoked with Biden anymore. They don't have to make excuses for him. They don't have to apologize for him. They don't have to send surrogates out to clean up his messes. So I almost feel like they act like they have a reprieve. And in some respects, they're sort of grateful for it because they don't have anything else that they can use to stop the bleeding, so to speak, any other candidate of Biden. They don't have anyone ready to step up. They don't have anyone who can actually do the job. That's why they ran Kamala. And I honestly do think that they felt like they were going to lose. But they ran Kamala Harris because they had to run someone. And they had no one else to run. And she's shallow and vapid enough to think that that was a compliment to her. And that they actually believed in her ability to run. When they didn't, they were just, they needed a sacrifice. They knew that they were going to be feeding someone into the meat grinder, and that person had no hope of a political career after, and so they gladly sacrificed her. The irony of ironies, Democrats, you had people like James Clyburn who were demanding that they run a black woman when Democrats in reality knew that this was going to be the sacrificial candidate that had no hope and that it was going to be such a destructive presidential cycle that whoever it was, they were never going to have any hope of a political career after. And so they just ran her. How unbelievably fitting that they actually fed their own DEI policies to the meat grinder in this fashion. I've never seen such a cell phone in my ever loving life. It is truly stunning how unbelievably ironic this all is. Really, it's truly stunning. So they were demanding, oh, we want our black female candidate, and then turn around and they're like, okay, we'll let you have her, and they destroyed her. You're not even going to see her at the inauguration, I doubt. Which brings me back to this cover. To me, it spells relief. When you look at it, do you feel like they're exhaling? That's what I get out of it. It feels like they're exhaling. So what does this mean with the media covering him going into January? It's tricky. Think of how many newspapers endorsed him over Kamala or didn't make an endorsement. Like WAPO, right? They didn't make an endorsement. And they weren't the only ones to not make an endorsement. So think of this. The media coverage when he assumes office, I think they're actually going to be kind. I'm not saying this because I'm hopeful. I'm not. I have no hope. I am Diogenes. I feel like they realize the economy is a mess, the border is a mess, and they're going to be supportive on those issues. And they realize they can't really do anything to him because he only has 4 years and he's termed out. I think that their ire, they're already retiring him with this magazine cover. Their ire is going to be turned towards everybody else. The bench. And this is one of the things that the media has been really bad at. So they don't know how to deconstruct the coalition that Republicans have built. And they have not really hardcore attacked the Republican bench yet. I think this magazine covers them kind of like retiring him, and they're reconciled to the idea that he's the president, and they kind of feel relief because of Biden, but also they're going to go after everybody underneath him twice as hard. Because as soon as they stop being sad over losing, they're going to be vengeful. And that's when I think you're going to see it. Thoughts, Kane? I think that's how it's going to go. I think that it's going to be knives out like you've never seen.
Oh, sure.
for Republican governors, leading Republican senators, leading Republicans in Congress. I think you're going to see a double coverage on them. Yeah. That's what my opinion.
Yeah. And
just like when you put salt on a slug and it writhes and seethes and screams, like that's exactly what we're going to be seeing because it's not going to be easy to drain the swamp.
Yeah, I think so. And then when he starts going after deep state, interesting. I was staring at that cover and I'm like, this is such an interesting cover because it's such a departure from the stuff that they usually do, right? It's such a departure. So, and interesting stuff. And their article, if you've read it, it's like they're trying not to be flattering, but it's just a fascinating thing. I think that they're actually, they don't want to admit that they like him. That's what I'm walking away with. They are happy to have somebody who understands business and they want to like him, but they know that they're on the left's team, so they can't like him. The whole article read like they kept having to walk it back. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but that was my take, and it just fascinated me. I just thought, this is so interesting. Our partners that help bring you this portion of our program, it's our friends over at Kel-Tec. The P15 is the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm that's on the market. And with the lightness, I mean, it's just so thin. It's so easily concealable. And there's two versions. You have the metal version, the metal frame with the walnut wood grip panel, gorgeous. And then you have the polymer version, gator grip texture, tritium fiber optic front side, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear, 1.27 inches wide, 4-inch barrel, lifetime warranty, compact, striker fire. It's awesome. I mean, this thing is so light and thin. Previously, my 43X was my lightest, thinnest. So ladies, if you like to conceal carry, you got to have it. Dudes, if you want to be like ultra concealable, you got to have it. Two mag, standard capacity, one 15-round minimal pinky extension, the second 12 rounds, double stack mag, flush fit. You have to check it out. It's the P15 at Kel-Tec. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So puberty blockers are set to be banned indefinitely for under 18s across the UK. The health secretary says the emergency measures banning the sale and supply are going to be made indefinite. And that's good. That's very good news because we can't be abusing this stuff and then chemically castrating people over that. It's just insanity. So this is a huge news. This, let's see, out of control welfare has stunted economic growth. That's an actual headline from a newspaper. Who would have thought? Like, I'm so shocked. What? Yeah. Welfare and regulation. They're saying that economic orthodoxies are tumbling. People are realizing that those policies don't work. But are they actually going to implement them? I mean, that's like the big thing. You're actually going to put them into practice. Coffee prices are surging to the highest on record. This is the Arabian beans. They said that the have accounted for what most of the global production, and their prices have jumped 80% this year, and that they're not the only place. They're saying that coffee brands are considering putting prices up in the new year also. Everything's been super expensive, but coffee roasters have been able to absorb a lot of those prices, places like Black Rifle Coffee and that. And they said that some companies like Nestle, they've taken the hit from higher raw material prices to themselves. But they said all of that's kind of at a tipping point right now because the expense is still, I mean, it's still super expensive. And it was a lot of it's due to drought and then heavy rain. So I know both of those things are factoring into the expense on all of it. Floyd Mayweather was attacked by a mob in a row over Israel and Gaza while he was jewelry shopping in London. This is why would you pick a fight with Floyd Mayweather, you stupid idiots? So apparently he got into an altercation at Hatton Garden and he was out shopping for jewelry. And I mean, it was doing some window shopping and a ton of people were in the street. A mob descended on him and he was he looked angry. He and his security were in the Capitol. They said that he was confronted. They bundled him out of a jewelry store into a waiting 4x4. And they said that he wasn't touched during it at any point, but the crowd was using racial slurs towards him. These are like pro-Gazan people using racial slurs towards him. And he said he was fine. There was nothing more to it. He was there for 48 hours and he did some quick shopping and that was it. That's so crazy. I wanted to touch on this because we missed it yesterday. Caitlin Clark, audio soundbite 22. She's doubled down. So Caitlin Clark came out and said that she felt like it was white privilege. That she ended up, she was saying that she somehow was the beneficiary of white privilege. And she doubled down on it in this soundbite. Listen. I think we have it. Okay.
I always have had really good perspective on everything that's kind of happened in my life, whether that's been good, whether that's been bad. And then obviously coming to the WNBA, like I've said, I feel like I've earned every single thing that's happened to me over the course of my career. But also, I grew up a fan of this league from a very young age. Like, my favorite player was Maya Moore. Like, I know what this league was about. And like I said, like, it's only been around 25 plus years. So I know there's been so many amazing black women that have been in this league, and continuing to uplift them, I think, is very important. And that's something I'm very aware of. And like I said, like, I try to just be real and authentic and, you know, share my truth. And I think that's very easy for me. Like, I'm very comfortable in my own skin. And that's kind of been how it is my entire life.
Yes.
Mm. So she says that she's admits feeling privileged as a white person and says that the WNBA was built on black players. No, it wasn't. The WNBA was the welfare recipient of the NBA. Nobody gave a rat's ass about women's basketball. Women don't even give a rat's ass about women's basketball. The WNBA was subsidized by the NBA. It is the welfare recipient of the NBA. NBA players and NBA viewers and NBA game attendees built the WNBA. Let's not pretend like these women who are in the WNBA built it. They can barely keep what was given to them. And then when they get someone who gets the eyeballs, they trash her and drag her down because they are a bunch of jealous bitches. That's the reality of it. And then they want to play victimhood and act as though everything's a racial hustle when it's not. She is one. What is her privilege exactly? And I know a lot of people are slamming her. And I just think that she is navigating something that no one has ever had to go through before. And that's part of what my point. How in the hell does she have white privilege when she is like one of, she's a minority player in the WNBA? How in the hell does she have white privilege? They have been racist bitches to her since she got there. They have targeted her. They have smeared her. They have acted like she is less than. And to her credit, she's ignored it up until now. I mean, she's ignored it up until, you know, this point. So I don't know how she's considered privileged. She works hard and she has talent, but how is that a privilege? She works hard with her talent. I mean, this is, it's goofy. She gets athlete of the year and then she has to apologize. I feel as though she's, because she had said, she said, quote, I want to say that I've earned every single thing, but as a white person, there is a privilege. I disagree with this. And she says, she said a lot of those players in the league that have been really good have been black players. This league has kind of been built on them, blah, 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 blah. Again, someone who is one of, she's a minority player in the WNBA on her team. And she has to admit to some kind of privilege. They can't just credit her talent. Like Time Magazine, they said Clark is cognizant of the racial underpinnings of her stardom. She says, I want to say the quote that I gave you, but the fact that she says that, oh, yes, the racial underpinnings, Time Magazine and writing about her, the racial underpinnings of her stardom, the racial underpinnings of the WNBA, nobody watches it. She's, I don't know, she just is like a beaten dog. But at the same time, she's never had to navigate. Nobody's ever had to navigate anything like this in the WNBA or anything like this. A female. Nobody's. This is kind of new. It's very new. But she's allowing herself to be bullied at this point. And there are players of a different race that did not generate the eyeballs that she generated. They did not generate the interest for the league that she generated. And they feel like they're trying to other her. They're trying to say that the only reason that she's talented is because of some sort of privilege. Being white doesn't make her play better. Practicing hard and working hard does. And she has a natural born talent that is entirely unrelated to her skin color. She just happens to be a white girl. But no one can credit her talent. Because no one wants to admit that she just might be a better player than Angel Reese, or she just might be a better player than some of the other women in on the teams in WNBA. They can't say that. So they have to discredit her talent by saying, oh, well, white privilege. The hell does white privilege have to do with being naturally talented at basketball? I suck at basketball. Love basketball. Love watching it. Love watching it, and I always wanted to play it. But I'm not very good, Kane. Where's my white privilege? I was told that I would have privilege. Look, as badly as I wanted to be on my school's basketball team, and I never made it, I was varsity everything I did but basketball for some reason. I have no idea why. Doesn't make sense. I did 18 years of classical ballet, and then I was varsity everything I did from freshman on. Basketball could not do it. No idea why. Where's my white privilege for that? Right? I wanted it. Isn't that how it works? If you're white and you want it, don't you automatically get it? Kane, how does white privilege work? Isn't that how it works? You're yeah. only you're white adjacent, only half, though, 50%. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah, I get a 50% card.
Yeah.
50% privilege.
But the other 50% of you, what privileges have you gotten?
Gosh. I don't know.
You haven't gotten any privileges?
Not that I know of.
But wait a minute. I'm told that if you're white, you get all these special things.
Yeah, I don't. They only see the non-white half of me, apparently.
Did you played football, right?
Yeah.
Were you a better football player because you were white? Half white?
No. I don't think
it didn't
so.
Give you any kind of like special superpower?
No.
I mean, I always thought that you played worse. Remember the Woody Harrelson movie, White Men Can't Jump? That was huge when I was a kid. And I remember looking at that title thinking, I wonder if they can't. Yeah. Hollywood. Just saying.
It's true.
Do you feel bad for her? Caitlin Clark?
Do I feel bad for what she's had to go through and all of that?
Do you feel like she's like been browbeaten into this?
I think so. She literally just wants to play basketball. She just wants to get along with everybody. She just wants to have fun. And everyone else is thrusting her in these directions and making her do these things. It just doesn't seem, just like anybody who doesn't do anything that comes naturally to them, it doesn't look right and it doesn't feel right.
Lorraine says that she feels like she's saying this to make the other girls on the team feel better.
Probably, because she wants to get along with them. She wants
How
to
How lame
have,
are the chicks in this league?
Well, what
if
was the
you, if you have to have this woman like lie prostrate in front of the media to make you feel better, I'm going to say something mean. Should I say? I've already said it once, but these women are, they are.
I read lips. I didn't know I was a lip reader till just now.
It's that white privilege. You would have been able to hear the voice in your head had you been full. I'm just saying, that's how it works, right? Lorraine says that she's always lifted up her teammates, always been very humble. She always seems like she's tried to ignore this. But that's sort of, notice, and this is how it is, and it doesn't matter if it's Caitlin Clark or whoever. This is why I'm like, never been in need of the rage mob, because they don't care. She's never going to be forgiven. She is their original sin of being born white. I mean, that's how all of her critics and all these people around WNBA are acting like. Maybe if you bitches could play basketball a little bit better, then maybe she wouldn't be getting all the attention. Maybe if y'all were half as talented as she was, then maybe, oh, I don't know, maybe you would get more advertising dollars. Maybe you would get more sponsorships yourself. Instead of hating on her, all you women need to be thanking her for keeping eyes on the WNBA, which has been nothing more than a glorified welfare recipient of the NBA. And you all know it's true, bitches. You know it's true. Yeah. I'm so tired of this stuff. They're a bunch of bullies, grown middle-aged women being bullies, women who are in their 30s being bullies. At some point, you need to grow up. You do. Dana's people are going to be like, Dana, I don't like your language. I am not Dora the Explorer, okay? You're not sitting in church, and this ain't PBS. I do feel bad for her because she's never had to navigate this. And I think that people who are trying to jump all over her need to slow their roll a little bit. I think the people who need most of the ire are the coaches and the league and her teammates. Those are the people that you need to be sharp with. Because I think she's just trying to navigate and deal with it. And she didn't come out and she seemed very hesitant when she was saying the stuff that she said. But if she thinks, though, that this kind of thing is going to make it to where they accept her and they celebrate her and they stop giving her grief, no. In fact, it's going to double. Because if they see you bleed, then they're going to come for more. That's how it works.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.